The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the September 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We are going to continue with the NFL preview, the NFC West. San Francisco 49ers. Their record in 2017 was 6-10. Number one, Jimmy G shines. After starting 1-10, the Niners handed the reins to newly acquired quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. He led the team to a 5-0 record, which earned him a $137.5 million off-season contract extension and made him one of the most high-profile quarterbacks in the league. That late-season run has San Francisco thinking playoffs. Number two, familiar foe. Cornerback Richard Sherman signed with the 49ers after being cut by the Seahawks, in part because he wanted to face his former team twice a season. Number three, put on the pressure. The 49ers were tied for 26th in sacks last season, and they did little to improve. Only defensive end DeForest Buckner, 3 sacks, looked dangerous in 2017. And number four, downfield playmakers. Newly signed running back Jerick McKinnon, 51 catches for Minnesota, will be Garoppolo's primary target on short passes. Will Marquise Goodwin, 962 receiving yards, build off his strong 2017, or is veteran Pierre Garçon, 40 catches in 8 games, going to emerge as the team's top receiver? Number three, Seattle Seahawks. Their record in 2017, 9-7. One. A rebuild on the horizon? Okay, maybe this team can get by without tearing down. But outside of quarterback Russell Wilson, 3,983 yards passing, and a few veteran defensive pieces who are still effective, the aging Seahawks are trending in the wrong direction. Number two, about those veteran defensive pieces. The D, which ranks 6th in the league, isn't as stacked as it used to be. But linebacker Bobby Wagner, 97 tackles, linebacker K.J. Wright, 71 tackles, free safety Earl Thomas, 6 passes defended, and sophomore cornerback Shaquille Griffin, 15 passes defended, form a core that should keep Seattle competitive. Number three, old reliable. Wide receiver Doug Baldwin's number, 75 catches, 991 yards, never jump off the page, but he's led the Seahawks in receiving yards for 4 straight seasons. Number four, pass protection. Seattle's offensive line was a big weakness last season, prompting the front office to trade for left tackle Dwayne Brown. Can the rest of the line step up and provide Wilson, who was sacked 43 times, with consistent protection? Number four, Arizona. 2017 record, 8-8. The Arizona Cardinals, Johnson's return, running back David Johnson, missed almost all of last year with a wrist injury. In 2016, he led the NFL in yards from scrimmage, 2,118, and picked up 20 touchdowns between the ground and air. Number two, defense remains elite. Gone is free safety Tyrann Mathieu, who signed with the Texans. But that doesn't mean the Cardinals' defense won't be a force to be reckoned with. Cornerback Patrick Peterson, strong safety Buda Baker, and linebacker Chandler Jones all made the Pro Bowl. Number three, better with age. He's about to turn 35, but Larry Fitzgerald is showing no signs of slowing down. Fitzgerald tied his career high in receptions last season, 109, and averaged 72.3 yards per game through the air. Number four, the Rosen Show. If 30-year-old quarterback Sam Bradford's health falters or he gets off to a slow start, how long can the Cardinals wait before giving rookie first-round pick Josh Rosen a chance, especially in one of football's toughest divisions? Wanted. Defense. the thief. Arizona Cardinals Patrick Peterson. They say balls that get thrown high into the Arizona air tend to go missing. Nobody's ever seen the thief of the desert. He's much too fast. Legend has it that he keeps the balls he picks off as souvenirs. Others say he gives them to local kids who can be seen playing around town with pilfered pigskins. Whatever the truth is, the fact remains, you come round these parts, you best run the ball. Get ready for a super season. All over the NFL this year, amazing powers will be on display. So be on the lookout for these stars. There's more art at fanseed.com. San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, holy contract extension. Like Dick Grayson donning the mantle of Nightwing, Jimmy G stepped out of the shadow of Tom Brady and became a hero in San Francisco. Can this former sidekick win the Super Bowl solo? Beckham Jr., Prince of Gotham. New York Giants, Odell Beckham Jr. Like the criminals of Gotham when Batman isn't around, NFC defenses have felt safe in the absence of Beckham Jr. He may not wear a cape, but this Crusader's return will strike fear in the hearts of opponents. Houston Texans, J.J. Watt. You wouldn't want to see him mad. The Houston Hulk can be described with just one word, incredible. Offensive linemen around the league have swapped tips on how not to make him angry. They don't know his secret. He's always angry. Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett. Fans in Buffalo and Detroit held out hope that the mythical act monster of Lake Erie would surface on their shores. Alas, he came around for 11 games last year in Cleveland, dragging an unlucky quarterback into the depths seven times. Denver Broncos, the lone Bronco, Von Miller. A lot is missing from the Broncos team that won the Super Bowl. No DeMarcus Ware, no Peyton Manning. Miller remains, though, on a never-ending quest to lasso opposing quarterback. $140 million man. Indianapolis coach Andrew Luck. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. Better yet, we have the surgeons. Let's see what Luck can do with an all-new shoulder. Turbo Impact. Jamal Adams, New York Jets. There's more than meets the eye when it comes to the Jets' second-year safety. Adams may look like a pass defender ready to drop into coverage, and then he will dramatically transform into a hard-hitting blitzer. California Dream. Can the Rams take down the GOAT, greatest of all time? When Rams general manager Les Snead and chief operating officer Kevin Dimoff were tasked with finding a replacement for head coach Jeff Fisher in late 2016, no one would have blamed them for playing it safe. The team was still adapting to its recent move from St. Louis to Los Angeles, operating in a temporary training facility and temporary home stadium. The Rams quarterback, former number one overall pick Jared Goff, was coming off a rocky debut season and heading into an offseason critical to his development. The defense, despite being stocked with talent, had bottomed out. The conventional choice was someone who had been around, someone who had experienced all the ups and downs of an NFL football team. Instead, they hired Sean McVay, the youngest head coach in modern NFL history. When you look back at the homework over the past few weeks we did on Sean, and he won't say it, so I'll embarrass him, the terms you heard were brilliant, genius, star, Demo said at McVay's introductory press conference. After watching McVay go 11-5 during his first season, capped off by a first-place finish in the NFC West, Snead and the organization were doubling down with another gigantic set of risks by surrounding an already talented roster with some of the most expensive and unpredictable free agents in the NFL this offseason. The Rams have gone from a curiosity to the odds-on Super Bowl favorite. Can they handle life as a top dog? With a 32-year-old McVay at the helm, anything seems possible. Players talk about his ability to relate to them on a closer level than most head coaches who are typically much older. Coaches praise his ability to handle in-game situations, but his real secret is the offense he's built. It constantly evolves, making his true tendencies as a play caller impossible to track. Consider the growth over just one season. The Rams went from last in points scored in 2016 to first. They went from last in total yards to 10th. Goff went from 0-7 as a starter in 2016 with 1,089 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Last year, he went 11-4 with 3,804 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. And now, on top of adding top cornerbacks Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters and all-pro defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, the Rams swung a deal with the New England Patriots for former first-round pickup Brandon Cooks, one of the best deep-threat receivers in the NFL. You're talking about a special person and a special player, McVay says. Clearly, he's going to be a big part of our offense. Cooks will step into an offense that already has the reigning Offensive Player of the Year, running back Todd Gurley, as well as promising second-year wideout Cooper Kupp and four-time Pro Bowl left tackle Andrew Whitworth. Together, they'll blend into what has become McVay's signature, a multifaceted offense that is built to attack both quickly and over time. In his first season, McVay stunned opposing defenses with radical ways of getting his receivers open. He used formations that allowed Goff to figure out what kind of coverage the defense was playing before the ball was snapped. He had receivers run elaborate route combinations at varying speeds, and he designed decoy running plays that truly led other teams to believe they were running plays. So many of LA's highlights from 2017 show wide receivers open in single coverage, miles away from the rest of the defense. The Rams scored more than 30 points in 9 times. Their 51-17 drubbing of the Giants exposed a secondary so befuddled that Goff was able to toss 250-yard-plus-yard touchdowns in a 3-minute span. Throughout his young career, McVay has risen quickly because of his ability to pinpoint the weaknesses in opposing defenses and memorize their best and worst characteristics. That expertise helped him become an assistant in Tampa Bay at age of 22. Now he's putting that knowledge base to work in the NFC West. The first time I met Sean, I knew this guy was going to be a future head coach, says former Rams offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur. He's so intelligent. His memory is as good as anybody I've ever been around. It's scary good. He can see one thing from another team 5 years ago and recall the game and what quarter it was in, what part of the field it was on. The Rams are now a club with all the personalities and big-time talent of a team playing in the shadow of Hollywood. Leaving a comfortable home in St. Louis was a big gamble. So was getting rid of Fisher and bringing on McVay. But that's clearly worked out pretty well so far. On the road again. In their 8-decade history, the Rams have played in 4 cities in 3 states, a journey that has seen its share of highs and lows on the field and in the stands. Number 1, Cleveland to Los Angeles. Formed in 1936, the Rams won the 1945 NFL title. A month later, owner Dan Reeves announced he was moving the team west, making the Rams the first team in a major sports league to call California home. Los Angeles to Anaheim. Playing in the giant L.A. Coliseum, which seats more than 90,000, the Rams set several attendance records, but the NFL forbade local stations from airing home games on TV if they weren't sold out. That led to many Rams games being blacked out. In 1980, they moved 35 miles away to Anaheim, where the team played in a much smaller stadium. Anaheim to Los Angeles. The move to Anaheim backfired, however. The team's fan base continued to dwindle, especially as the losses piled up. In March 1995, after a 4-12 season in which the Rams ranked dead last in attendance, team officials announced they were moving to a new dome stadium in St. Louis. St. Louis to Los Angeles. In 1999, the Rams won their only Super Bowl, but their time in St. Louis followed the familiar pattern. Attendance began to drop, and the owners began looking for a new home. After finishing last in attendance in 2015, the Rams announced their intention to move back to L.A. They'll share a new stadium with the Chargers. But until it opens in 2019, the Rams are back in the Coliseum. the GOAT, greatest of all time. Still NFL preview, page 65. No matter how you look at it, Tom Brady is the best quarterback the game has ever seen. Tom Brady doesn't like to talk about it, but the question can't be avoided when discussing New England's quarterback place in history. Is Brady the greatest of all time? In other words, is he the GOAT? I don't like it when people say it, Brady told an interviewer earlier this year. I don't feel that way. I want to be the best I can be. I know when I go out there is not to compare myself to this guy or that guy. That hasn't stopped other people from raising the subject, including Brady's own team. To celebrate their star's 40th birthday last August, the Patriots set up a petting zoo with five goats at their training camp, one for each Super Bowl ring Brady has won. The organization touted it as the greatest petting zoo of all time. Laying out every argument in favor of Brady could take all day. He's in the top five in virtually every major statistical category. The only quarterback whose numbers compared to Brady's is Peyton Manning. The Brady-Manning rivalry, which ended in 2016 when Manning retired, captivated fans for years. But when the two met on the field, the results were one-sided. Brady won 11 of their 17 matchups. And speaking of winning, no quarterback has done it more than Brady. He has 10 more regular season wins than any other quarterback. His 27 playoff wins are more than twice as many as any other active quarterback. If there's one knock against Brady, it's that while he's won five Super Bowls, he's lost three. Joe Montana of the 49ers and Terry Bradshaw of the Steelers were each a perfect 4-0. But Brady deserves credit for getting his team to the big game eight times. It's easy to sit on the sidelines and argue Brady's case. But what do the guys who see Brady up close, the ones who share the field with him, think? Broncos superstar linebacker Von Miller and former Steelers All-Pro James Harrison have both called him the GOAT, a sentiment echoed by lineman Chris Long after Super Bowl 51 in 2017. He's the GOAT, Long said. He's the king of the petting zoo. Yeah, there's other goats and farm animals where he is, but he's the biggest goat. He's like the goat that runs the whole petting zoo. Regular season wins. Tom Brady, 196. Brett Favre, tied for second, 186. Peyton Manning, tied for second, 186. John Elway, 148. And Dan Marino, 147. It's safe to say no one is going to be approaching Brady anytime soon. The active quarterbacks whose closest is Drew Brees of the Saints with 142. He'd have to win 11 games in each of the next 5 years, and Brady would have to go winless. Playoff wins. Tom Brady, number one, 27. Joe Montana, 16. Terry Bradshaw, 14. Tied for third. John Elway, 14. And Peyton Manning, 14. How do you rack up so many postseason wins? Well, you make the postseason often. Brady has led the Pats to the playoffs 15 of the 16 years in which he has been the full-time starter. He has won at least one game in 13 postseasons. Passing yards, Peyton Manning, 71,940. Brett Favre, 71,838. Drew Brees, 70,445. Tom Brady, 66,159, and Dan Marino, 61,361. Brady has a good chance of catching Manning, but he'll have a harder time getting past Brees. The Saints quarterback is still going strong. He threw for 4,334 yards last season, and at 39, he's a year and a half younger than Brady. Yards per game. Drew Brees, 282.9. Matthew Stafford, 278. Andrew Luck, 272. Peyton Manning, 270.5. Matt Ryan, 264.5. And at number six, Tom Brady, 261.5. Blame this one on Brady's relatively slow start. Since 2007, his average has been a stellar 284 yards. But he's never approached Brees' best season, 342.3 in 2011. Winning percentage, Otto Graham, 7.788. Tom Brady, 0.774. Daryl LaMonica, 0.753. Roger Staubach, 0.733. And number five, Joe Montana, .711. In each of his 10 seasons, Graham led the Cleveland Browns to the league championship game, 6 in the NFL and 4 in the All-America Football Conference. TD passes, Peyton Manning, 539, Brett Favre, 508, Tom Brady, 488, tied for third, Drew Brees, 488, and number five, Dan Marino, 420. Brady has averaged 32.3 TD passes over the past four seasons. At that rate, he could top Manning, his greatest rival, sometime in late 2019. Game-winning drives. Peyton Manning, 54. Dan Marino, 47. Third place, Brett Favre, 43. Fourth place, Tom Brady, 42. And Drew Brees, 41. The reason Brady hasn't had as many game-winning drives of a fourth-quarter series that puts his team ahead for good is because his Patriots often have a comfortable lead late in the game. Quarterback rating. Number 1, Aaron Rodgers, 103.8. Number 2, Russell Wilson, 98.8. Number 3, Tom Brady, 97.6. Number 4, Tony Romo, 97.1. And number 5, Steve Young, 96.8. Brady has had 6 seasons with a rating of at least 100, 2 fewer than Rodgers. The Packers signal caller set the NFL record in 2011 with a rating of 122.5. Championships. Tie for first, Tom Brady, 5. Tie for first, Bart Starr. Tie for third, Terry Bradshaw. Tie for third, Joe Montana. Tie for fifth, Troy Aikman with 3. Starr, the Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer, led his team to victories in the first 2 Super Bowls, and Bradshaw and Montana were undefeated in their Super Bowl appearances. Who are the GOATs at other positions? Turn the page to find out. Ultimate NFL Dream Team, pages 68 and 69. Number 1. Who would make the cut on the all-time pro squad? Find this lineup, plus the greatest NFL and college team to ever grace the gridiron, in the latest book from SI Kids, Greatest Football Teams of All Time. Number 1. Wide receiver, Randy Moss, Minnesota Vikings, 2004-2010. Oakland Raiders, 2005-2006, New England Patriots, 2007-2010, Tennessee Titans, 2010, and San Francisco 49ers, 2012. Nicknamed the Freak, Moss could outrun, outjump, and outcatch anyone. As a rookie in 1998, he caught 17 touchdowns for the Vikings, leading the NFL. 9 seasons later, Moss was still dominating when he set the single-season record for receiving touchdowns, 23, with the Patriots. Number 2, tight end, Tony Gonzalez, Kansas City Chiefs, 1997-2008, and Atlanta Falcons, 2009-2013. Gonzalez played basketball in college and brought his hoops athleticism to the NFL, where he helped define the modern tight end. Big, hard to cover, great hands. Gonzalez's 1,325 receptions rank second all-time, and he is in the top 10 in receiving yards, 15,127, and touchdowns, 111. Number 3, offensive tackle, Jonathan Ogden, Baltimore Ravens, 1996-2007. Ogden is a big dude. During his playing days, he was listed at 6'9", 340 pounds. That mass allowed him to lay into defenders on rushing plays. During Ogden's career, Ravens running backs had 7 1,000-yard rushing seasons. Number 4, guard Larry Allen, Dallas Cowboys, 1995-2005, San Francisco 49ers, 2006-2007. Despite playing the unglamorous position of offensive guard, Allen stood out. He could bench press more than 700 pounds. An 11-time Pro Bowler, he opened up huge holes for Cowboys running back Emmitt Smith, helping Smith eventually become the NFL's all-time leading rusher. Number 5, running back, Barry Sanders, Detroit Lions 1989 to 1998. Sanders played 10 seasons for the Lions and rushed for at least 1,300 yards in 9 of them. With his stutter steps and jukes, Sanders was a highlight waiting to happen. He ranks 3rd all-time with 15,269 career rushing yards. Running back, Jim Brown, Cleveland Browns 1957 to 1965. Brown was bigger, faster, and stronger than many of the defenders who tried to tackle him. He led the NFL in rushing in 8 out of his 9 pro seasons and is still the only player to average at least 100 yards rushing per game for an entire career. Number 7, quarterback Tom Brady, New England Patriots 2000 to present. Brady idolized Joe Montana growing up. Few believed, however, that Brady would one day surpass his hero. Cool under pressure just like Montana, Brady has played in 8 Super Bowls. He has won 5, which just happens to be one more than Montana. Number 8, center Bruce Matthews, Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans, 1983 to 2001. Matthews' father, brother, sons, and nephews are all current or former NFL players. But Bruce stood out with the technique, strength, and agility to play every O-line position. Matthews started 293 games, which was an NFL record, before Brett Favre eclipsed him. Guard John Hanna, New England Patriots, 1973 to 1985. Hanna's 33-inch thighs hinted at his tremendous lower body strength. He burst off the line of scrimmage and pushed defensive tackles around for 13 NFL seasons. In 1981, Sports Illustrated put him on the cover with the headline, "The Best Offensive Lineman of All Time." Number 10, offensive tackle Anthony Munoz, Cincinnati Bengals, 1980 to 1992. A 9-time All-Pro, Munoz was the first Bengal enshrined in the Hall of Fame. The reliable tackle played in 185 games over his 12 seasons. And finally, Jerry Rice, wide receiver, San Francisco 49ers, 1985 to 2000, Oakland Raiders 01 to 04, and Seattle Seahawks. Rice, one of the only players in our GOAT book to actually be nicknamed the GOAT during his playing days. The stats back up the moniker. Rice holds the all-time record for total receiving yards, 22,000, receiving touchdowns, 197, and receptions, 1,549. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.